Yeah, what a great passage of Scripture as far as Romans 2. You're like, oh, how is it great? Well, it's a great reminder, right? It is a great reminder. And so basically I've entitled this message today from Romans 2, 17 through 24, God's Guide for Godly Living. God has standards for us, right? And, we're going to go back through this. We're just going to kind of break it down a little bit. And I'll be reading some of the verses again. So just go ahead and keep your thumb there in Romans as we're going through this. Starting right there at the beginning of verse 17. Now, if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the Torah and boast about God and know His will and approve of what is best because you have been instructed in the Torah, and if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light to those in darkness, an instructor of ignorant people, and a teacher of infants because you have full content of knowledge and truth in the Torah. Kind of broke that down because there's a lot of stuff there. I mean, Carol, was that a run-on sentence or what? There's a lot that's taking place there. But that first thing I want to focus on, calling yourself a Jew. You might say, well, hey, you know what? I guess this doesn't apply to me because I don't have Jewish blood. Well, what is Galatians 3:7? It says, you see then that those who have faith are Abraham's real descendants. So if you have faith that Yeshua is the Messiah and you are a follower of Yeshua, you are therefore a real descendant of Abraham. And by the transitive property, you guys remember that from math, or am I just like, okay, a few of you out there. By the transitive property, that makes you real Jews. So anyone who's a follower of the Messiah is who this is talking to. Also, it's talking, okay, so that's the first thing. Second, do you rely upon the Torah? Do you have faith? What's written in the Word of God is the Word of God? Yeah. John 1:1 says, in the beginning the Word existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Very clear there. So if a person believes in the, capital T, Word, capital W, Yeshua, right? He's the Word. And, of course, what the Torah says regarding salvation, then they must rely upon what was written in the Torah. And we know this by faith. Abraham, or Genesis 15:6. Then Abraham believed in Yahweh, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. If you claim to have belief that Yeshua is the Messiah, you claim that you are saved by grace. Not by works, not by anything else, but you are saved by God and what Yeshua did on a cross. If that is how you were saved, like the Torah instructs us, then you rely on the Torah, right? So you're a believer, you rely on the Torah. You boast about the things of God. And you have to ask yourself, does anybody boast about God? At any time during your life, do you say God did this or God answered a prayer? Exodus 8 says, then he said, so said he, may it be according to your word that you may know that there is no one like Yahweh our God. So if you've ever given a testimony that God has done one thing in your life, he answered prayer, he saved me, he performed a miracle, he blessed me, this, that, or the other, that's boasting about God, right? So if you're a believer, you rely upon the Word, Yeshua, the Torah, you boast about God, the next one, if you know His will. Well, how do we know the will of God? Well, if you have a Bible, you know the will of God, right? In this country, in the United States of America, nobody has no excuse for not knowing the Bible. Everyone has at least one Bible in their possession in this country. Or access to one Bible. How many of you guys have the internet at home? If you've got the internet, you've got access to the Scriptures, right? And if you don't have the internet at home, there's the public library where you can go and access the Scriptures for free, right? Well, at least this week. Who knows what Congress will do next week? No more Bible reading in the library. Yeah. Won't go off on that rabbit trail. But you know what? If you've got the Bible, you've got the Word of God, you know what His will is. And there's this great verse in Micah 6:8. Starting with verse 7, actually, it says, "Does Yahweh take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He," which is Yahweh, "has told you, O man, what is good. And what does Yahweh require of you? But to do justice, to love grace, and to walk humbly with your God." That kind of puts it in a nutshell what the will of God is, right? Doing justice, following the Torah. Loving grace, cherishing our salvation, right? Not taking it for granted. And of course, walking humbly with our God, that means behaving in a godly manner. Behaving the way that God wants us to behave. That's what His will is. Follow Torah, love your salvation, and behave according to His word. That's His will. And so, with that, you know, thinking about this whole list of people that He's talking to here. You know, the instructors. Aren't we instructors, right? We're instructed to teach others, right? We'll talk about that in just a moment. In fact, it goes on to say, "As you teach others, do you fail to teach yourself?" And James 3:1 says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more severely." How many of you in here think that you're a teacher? We're all teachers, come on. Yeah, because what does God's Word say? We have a charge. "Therefore, as you go, disciple all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you each and every day until the end of the age." We are all charged with teaching people about the things of God. And you know what? My notes here I wrote, my point is that we are instructed to teach others. And sometimes we should even use words. Think about that. We are instructed to teach others, and sometimes we should use words. Because don't our actions speak louder than our words? Yeah. James 2:18 says, "But someone may say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without any works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" We demonstrate to people that we are believers in Yeshua by how we conduct ourselves and how we behave ourselves. Right? When we love God with all our heart, with all our soul and all our resources, and we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, isn't that our faith working through us? Yeah. Yeah. The next thing it says is, "As you preach against stealing, do you steal?" Philippians 3:18-19 says, "For I have told you, and now tell you even with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of the Messiah. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on worldly things." Yeah. People rob God of His glory by taking credit for what He does. "Ooh, I'm a scientist. I created life in a laboratory." No, you didn't. If you want to play God and create life, you have to start with nothing and then speak it into existence. Right? Yeah. "Oh, I'm doing these things." You know, I know that's kind of pretty deep there, but you know, "Hey, I did this today. I did that today. Look at all I've accomplished." Well, as a believer, it's like, "Oh, wow. Look at all that God did through me today." Because what does that verse say? "I can do all things through my own strength?" No. It says, "I can do all things through the Messiah, through Yeshua, who strengthens me." Yeah, He's the one that gives us strength. And so, you know what? When we steal God's glory, we're robbing God. We are stealing from God. Yeah. And that's how deep it goes. It's not just like saying, "Hey, don't steal," but yet, "Hey, oh, lucky me, they counted my change wrong, an extra $5 in my pocket." Isn't that still the same as stealing? Yeah. And I tell you, it's I really enjoy when they overcount my change and then I find out on the way out the door and then I come back and say, oh, oops, no, missed one. Because they're in shock because that's not in the society today, right? It's all about greed. It's all about giving themselves, you know, the money, the power, and the fame, right? But when we give glory to God and we do these things, it gives us an opportunity to share. So they made a mistake. We're not sitting here to point out their mistake and their counting ability. We're here to say, hey, you know what? This happened. No big deal. God bless you. Yeshua Jesus loves you. Have a good day. What an opportunity to share. And we need to take advantage of those opportunities. Amen? Amen. The next phrase here, it says, as you forbid adultery, do you commit adultery? And I'm like, oh, Lord, there's got to be a verse about this. And of course, and boom, immediately came to mind what Yeshua said in Matthew. Chapter 5, he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, anyone who stares at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You notice it says stare, not like, ooh, yeah, okay, she's cute. But, come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about. Richard's cracking up down there.
Oh, she's so, I gotta stare.
Yeah. You know, Baruch Hashem, God made women, right? Yeah, amen. But you know, God doesn't want us to have a spirit of lust. Oh, well, you know, I'm not sleeping around, I'm just looking at pictures of women. Huh? That's committing adultery in your mind, right? In your heart. God says, hey, don't you know, be talking, hey, don't be doing that stuff, but yet you're doing it in your own mind. You know, and sometimes things happen. I mean, they're just like you're watching. Gosh, you can't even watch TV nowadays with half the commercials on it. It's just like, oh, got to look away. But you know what? God's not saying, hey, if an image just comes across the TV screen, you know, oh, He wants us to look away. But you know what? If we're just like going, oh, yeah, that's on TV, it must be okay. Oh, goodness, no. No, that's not a good thing. And you know, people who say, and here's the point here, people who say that adultery is wrong and yet have problems with lust, they are in the wrong. They are in the wrong. Or here's one, as you abhor idols, do you rob temples? And Malachi chapter 3, 8 and 9 says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Yeah. We rob God by not giving Him a portion of what He has blessed us with. And you know what the really cool thing about that is? Because the next verse we read each week where it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and test me now in this, says Yahweh, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessings until it overflows. You know what? It's true. He does do blessings. And you know, we've got an example of that. In fact, we're just going to take a quick second here. And I'm going to ask Carol if she'd just come up for a minute, maybe two. And if she could just share the next verse and how that has affected her with Malachi 3:11. So Carol, why don't you come forward? And I tell you, this is blowing me away. The power of prayer, but... Share with us, sister. Malachi 3, verse 11.
Okay, and verse 11 says, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. So when we're obedient to God in our giving of our tithes, our offerings, the Lord, the second half of that promise is that He will keep the devourer from stealing from us. You know how sometimes we hold back because they think, I can't afford to give because this is like all I have. And then everything goes wrong. All these little things go wrong. And that money that you're holding on to is gone for that. Yeah. Whereas if we give it to God first, He protects us and He provides for us in the most unusual ways. For example... Most of you know that, well, a year ago now, Friday, September 19th, basically the rug was pulled out from under me. I could no longer do the career that I'd been doing. In that time, I'd have a mortgage, a car payment, and accumulated a mass of student loans. All that hanging over my head, and yet there my life came to a standstill. And I just felt like I was at the end of my rope. All I know to do is come to the Lord. And of course, you guys here embraced me and prayed with me and put up with a year of incessant crying as I worked through it all. But you know, in that time, I did stay faithful in my tithing. Whatever money came to me, I tithed off of that. And not only money, but time. And whatever talents I have, whatever I was able to do, give to the Lord, because it's all His anyway, right? So it brought me to a place of just letting everything go. And it's like, well, it's out of my control. There's nothing I can do about it. You know, I'm willing to work. In the process, I did apply for permanent disability from my teaching. So, okay, that was a year ago September. So this last September, I get this letter from the Department of Education demanding full payment of my student loans at the tune of $135,955.58. Impossible, but not too impossible for God.
Yeah.
So we've been giving that to Him, and I wrote back to them. I said, I'm permanently disabled now. I'm not able to work. I can't pay this back. So that was this last September. So 3 months later, I get this Hanukkah Christmas present from the Department of Education. Basically, in a nutshell, the department has discharged your loan or teach grant service obligation on the basis of your total and permanent disability. This cancels your obligation to repay the loan or complete the teaching service you agreed to perform as a condition for receiving a teach grant. They're going to be monitoring me for 3 years. The only real stipulation is that my annual employment income cannot exceed the poverty guideline amount for a family of two in the state of California. So, praise God, the debt is canceled. Give me glory.
Amen.
And also I see His provision there because I want to do something. I do have some talents and capabilities, and so there's provision where I can still work. All right? But it's interesting that my goal is not going to be how much money I can make now. It's going to be kind of, I got to keep under this. So my goal is really, God, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do today? How can I serve you today? Because that's what it's really all about.
Amen.
And praise God.
Amen. Just give God praise. And you know, it's true. I've had a similar circumstance. Now my debt wasn't almost 140, mine was only 50. But we saw through the working of God's hand that okay, Lord, we're going to power through this, and we're going to rely upon you to help us with it. And so what did I do? I sucked it up and started working and working and working. And just, you know, I was in ministry at the time, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to have to, so, you know, do some subsidy with that. I'm going to have to work 40 or 50 hours a week doing whatever I can, digging holes, doing accounting work, whatever I could find. And less than a year, I started getting to this and paying these things back. And then I get these phone calls. Hey, Mr. Woodcock, if you make a double payment of $600 today, we'll knock $4,000 off of your student loan. Can you do that? Yes, I can. And so we see that the favor of the Lord is, it's true. We test God. We don't rob God. And isn't that true? What a great lesson for us. And it's not like God is like going to Pechanga with a guaranteed win. Every time we pull the handle, He's going to pay out for us. But if we give Him what His due, in His time, as He wants us to minister for Him and to work for Him, He is going to provide. Well, they say when God guides, God provides. And Carol's like, oh, I want to help at the synagogue. What do? Well, I need an administrative assistant, but I can't pay you. Okay. And so praise God. And guess what? He takes care of the little T's. He takes care of the big loans. He does it all, whatever He wants. Amen? Amen. So let's not rob God. Because when we don't rob God, He has blessings for us. The next thing, it says, as you boast about the Torah, do you dishonor God by breaking the Torah? Psalm 119 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Young men, here's the key. By keeping, that word keeping, shomer, guarding against corruption, the word of God. By guarding it according to your word with all my heart, I have sought you. Seek God with all your heart. Yeah. And do not, it says, do not let me wander from your commandments. You know, remember a couple weeks ago we drew that line in the sand and started to get a little bit closer to that line. The next thing you know, we're pushed over it. But God wants us to stay close to His commandments. Do not let me wander from your commandments. And this is how we do it. Your word have I treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Treasure the word of God. What do we do with treasure? We store it, right? We keep it there. We guard it. We check on it all the time. Is my treasure there? God wants us to treasure in our hearts His word. And then, you know, with that, when we boast about the Torah, we won't be breaking the Torah because we've got that check in our heart. Because we understand it's valuable, right? Now, I've heard some excuses. But Rabbi, we're under grace, so everything is okay now. Or, yeah, we're no longer under Old Testament law, New Testament grace. No, grace is all throughout the Scriptures, starting in Genesis, right? Was it Abraham who worked for righteousness? No. His faith was credited to him as righteousness. And if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, how can He be a just and fair God if He has two different standards for people? It's always been grace. And you know what I say to this thinking? I can do whatever I want because of grace. As they say in the game shows, wrong. Romans 6, 1 through 3 says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Of course not. How can we who died as far as sin is concerned go on living in it? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into union with Messiah Yeshua were baptized in His death? If you say you're a believer, you have to live like a believer and act like a believer. And if you don't, and if you're not caring, and if you want to take advantage of God's grace, I personally find the Scriptures telling me that I need to question your salvation. But you don't understand, Rabbi. I grew up in a house of worship. Well, you may have gotten older in a house of worship, but you never grew up. Right? Yeah, it's true. I've been going to this place for 40 years. So? You've been a baby for 40 years of your life spiritually. Let's not take advantage of God's grace. He doesn't want us to do that. Because here's what it boils down to. As it is written, God's name is being blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. This all has to do with people who say they're believers, but yet they don't act like believers. And you know, a little translation note, Paul here is directly quoting from Ezekiel 36, which says, when they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name because it was said of them, these are the people of Yahweh, yet they have come out of His land. These people knew because of what had taken place. I mean, think of what happened with all the different city-states and all of that in the Promised Land that tried to negotiate with the children of Israel out of the deals because they knew that that was God's Promised Land and they saw what God did in Egypt, right? They were shaking in their boots because word got out. But yet, hey, you know what? They've got this great God, but you know they must have blown it because God even kicked them out. Because they blaspheme. They claim, oh yeah, we're children of God, but they weren't children of God. And so God warns us about that. Because when a person has a bad testimony, they are the people that really are actively leading other people right to the gates of hell. I know that's a tough reality, but that's how these people are. And that's what Paul's addressing here. Hey, don't say you're a believer and then yet act like however you want to act. You claim that you're a real descendant of Abraham by faith. You claim that you rely upon the Torah. You claim that you boast about God. You boast about knowing what God's will is. You boast about having the Scriptures, but yet you're doing all these things wrong and you're leading people to the gates of hell. Don't do it. It's a warning to these people. Don't do it. And in fact, this goes along with Exodus 27, which says, "You shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain, for Yahweh will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." And a little side note, I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, but we've seen, I've seen different displays of the Ten Commandments, but really the Jewish perspective is the first five commandments pertain to God. The second five commandments pertain to how we should treat others. And when you line them up, the commandments are interrelational with each other. Like commandment one lines up with commandment six. Commandment two lines up, we see in Scripture, worshiping, idol worship is the same as committing adultery. You harlot yourself out to other gods, right? We see the Scripture say. Yeah, that's, but what about children obey your parents? Isn't that about people? No, it's not. It's about respecting the authority that God has given us. And saying, hey, yeah, my parents are a little whacked, but God gave me the best parents that I could ever have. Even though they did weird and horrible things, yeah. Because remember, it's all for the glory of God. And trust me, my parents didn't walk on water. Pretty close, but they didn't walk on water. And I know that me as a dad, I don't walk on water. But I know that God gave me the children that God gave me. Because He knew that Crystal and I would be the best parents for them to have an opportunity to accept Yeshua Jesus as Messiah. Right? Yeah. And so I know I got off on a little side note there. But the commandments relate to each other. And so how does God relate taking His name? What commandment does it relate to? It relates to stealing. Yeah. Don't steal. And so when a person misrepresents God, not only are they taking His name in vain, yeah, I'm a believer, or whatever, but they are also stealing the glory that is due to God. Hey, look at all the things that I did. No, it's all the things that God did, right? This message keeps on coming up. But I don't know about you, but I sure don't want to steal from God. I know it's around the holiday times when we hear that song. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. It's not talking about Santa. That's talking about Yeshua. Right? He knows, God knows everything. I don't want to steal credit for what He's doing. I don't want to blaspheme God's name. And people come up to me and say, oh, Rabbi, you do such great blah, 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 blah. No, I don't. I don't do great blah, 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 blah. God, I got to give God the glory because He created me and He does the stuff. All I have to do is just say, hey, I'm the pipe. Bend me however you want. Shape me however you want. Remember that old song? Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. You are the potter, I am the clay. Yeah, it's true. We're just dirt. And God wants to mold us. And so when something really cool comes out, us who are true believers just need to say, hey, you know what? I can't even take any credit for it. I'm just the dirt. I'm just the dirt, but it's God that's in me that allowed these things to happen. Amen? Amen. So I have a challenge today. And this is not only for everybody here, but also everyone who's listening online as well. If you are a believer, Jew as the Scripture says here, you follow the Word, Yeshua, the Torah, for salvation. If you've ever talked to anybody about God in any way, shape, or form, if you have a Bible and you're struggling with these things, you need to just confess it, get rid of it, let God change you, and be done with it. Because really, when you look at the big picture, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's all about Him. Right? And what a great New Year's resolution. I know our calendar year here in the Western calendar, we've got our, January 1st, everyone makes these resolutions. I'm going to quit this, I'm going to quit that, you know, and that usually happens for, you know, a day, maybe two, maybe a week, right? I'm going to quit making resolutions, then next year comes along. What happened to last year's resolutions? I don't know, but I'm going to make some more. I thought you were going to quit. No. But really, here's the best resolution that we can do. Confess it, get rid of it, and let God change us. Right? We're not the ones who need to institute the change. We're the ones that need to allow God to institute the change. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's go ahead and just bow our heads and close our eyes.